choose over another person. So yeah.
What group are you with?
I'm an organizer with Jewish Voice for Peace. We've worked really hard for this moment. I'm so excited to celebrate with everybody.
Did you think you'd see this day?
I was confident. Yeah.
What do you say about Donald Trump saying today that any Jew who votes for Zoran Mamdani is stupid?
It's anti-Semitic nonsense. It's bigotry, plain and simple. We're sick of anti-Semitism being weaponized against Palestinian people and against our own communities as well.
What do you want to see Zoran Mamdani do as mayor?
Make New York City a city for everybody. A city we can afford, a city where people can lead dignified lives.
My name is Runa Hajar. I don't know what to say. I mean, it's been a very hard few years with the genocide, and this is the first good news that we've had. It feels like truly, truly good news, something to really look forward to and celebrate.
What about local issues here in New York? What most appeals to you about Mamdani?
Well, I mean, I think that, so I'm a social worker by training, and I think that safety issues as not criminalizing mental health issues is very, very significant, and I think will change how we think of safety and security in New York City, which is something that I know is on the minds of a lot of people.
My name is Jagpreet Singh. I'm the political director at Drum Beats, and I feel amazing. I feel ecstatic. I'm on top of the world. It's going to be a couple of days until I come back down.
Hi, my name is Nabila. I'm the youth organizer at Drum Beats.
It's well known that while young people are very enthusiastic, they're the least likely to vote.
Yeah.
What's your response to that?
I think this just goes to show when we have a candidate that actually cares about the popular issues that affect everyone, and someone who's charismatic and who doesn't talk down to you, you finally have a youth that's ready to show the energy they've always had. It's just that they've been marginalized all this time.
My name is Keanu Arpels Josiah. I'm with Sunrise Movement, New York City.
So, what are your feelings right now?
I'm joyful. This is the beginning of a new future for New York City, a future where we have a politics that works for our generation, for affordability, fights the climate crisis, fights the billionaire class taking over our government, stands up to fascism, and stands up for our issues. This is a moment where all of politics is changing. New York City is changing. New York City is standing up and demanding a different future for our world, for our country, and for our city. I couldn't be more excited.
How will it change what you do?
It means the same for us in some ways, and it means everything is different in other ways. It means collaboration. It means a politics of working with those in office to deliver the agenda, but it also means a politics of accountability. We need to be with Zoran celebrating today, and we need to be talking with him tomorrow to make his agenda a reality. We need to be standing alongside. We can't just be yelling at each other, but we have to have collaboration and accountability. And it means we need to fight Governor Hochul, who's trying to build fossil fuel pipelines through New York City that Mamdani opposes. We need to fight to tax the rich, and we need to fight Washington as it attacks our community.
My name's Simone Zimmerman. I'm part of the Jews for Zoran campaign. I'm on a board member of Jews for Racial and Economic Justice Action, and I'm over the moon. I don't know. This is it. Trump called the Jews who voted for Zoran stupid, but look, we're in a moment right now where we have an administration that is using racism and fear and is sowing terror in cities around the country, and Jews are not different from many other Americans. across the city, Jewish communities of such ideological and religious diversity, and say, you belong here. And I think people believe him. And I think that tonight we're seeing that.
My name is Fahad Ahmed, and I'm the director of Drumbeats. This campaign was successful because it had a movement behind it. And it was successful because it spoke to the material needs of people.
This is a very strong message for the entire country. It's not only Republicans who will organize against Mayor Mamdani. It's the Democratic Party as well. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah. You know, in our work, we talk about that it is the policies of the centrists, whether they're Democrats or some of the old Republicans, that created the conditions that caused the rise of the right. When people's needs aren't being met, they need an alternative. And so far, only the far right was providing an alternative in the form of authoritarianism, in the form of fascism, in the form of hate, turning against immigrants, against queer people, against Muslims. And what this campaign and our movement was able to do was offer a left alternative.
I'm James Davis. I'm the president of the Professional Staff Congress, CUNY, the CUNY Faculty and Staff Union.
You were among the first unions to endorse Zoran Mamdani.
We were. I mean, we've known Zoran since his time in the assembly. So we knew that even though he was a long shot candidate, he would have tremendous message discipline. And in a time like now, when there's Trumpism from the federal government, we also knew that his message was going to resonate among working New Yorkers. We see what President Trump has done with the budget bill as a massive transfer of wealth to the already wealthiest. So part of our agenda is making sure that there's additional progressive taxation so that the public services, including the City University of New York, can be properly funded so we can have not just an affordable education, but a high-quality education that our students deserve.
Jasmine Gripper, co-director of the New York State Working Families Party. We are feeling proud of our success. We endorsed Zoran early, and tonight he got over 140,000 votes on the Working Families ballot line. He himself voted for himself on the Working Families ballot line. So we're ready to continue to build power to make his agenda a reality to help all New Yorkers.
Waleed Shaheed, I'm a political strategist. I'm South Asian, I'm Muslim. I think the campaign that Zoran started was based in the fact that so many Muslim Americans, South Asian Americans, Arab Americans felt left out of the Democratic Party because of the party's support of Benjamin Netanyahu's war crimes. And Zoran made an effort to include those people in the Democratic Party, in the Democratic primary process, in a way that so many politicians were unwilling to do. And I think you're seeing the results of that tonight is that not only was it Muslims and South Asians and Arabs, but young Jews, young people of all backgrounds wanted to see a candidate who had conviction and courage, whether it was about opposing war and genocide or standing up to the real estate lobby in this city, that they wanted a candidate who was consistent. And I think Zoran represents that in many ways and is like the represents the future of a lot of what American politics is going to look like.
I'm Shahana Hanif, New York City Council member representing the 39th District in Brooklyn, which includes Park Slope, Kensington, and I feel amazing.
So how will the City Council operate differently now with Mayor Mamdani?
Look, we'll have a partner. We will have a partner who shares similar values and a progressive agenda that has not been supported by Mayor Adams. You know, we had a mayor who consistently vetoed signature legislation that would transform New Yorkers' lives. He vetoed ending solitary confinement in our city jails. He vetoed adding more accountability and transparency to our police force. He vetoed expanding vouchers for people who are in shelters, warehoused for years. This mayor, this new mayor, cares so deeply about the working people, the working class people of New York City, and his agenda is more aligned with the current progressive New York City Council.
My name is Khalid Latif. I'm the director of the Islamic Center of New York City.
So here you are. Zoran Mamdani is about to take the stage. He has won the race for mayor. He will be the first Muslim mayor. Did you ever think you'd see this day?
Yeah, you know, it's so remarkable. Zoran for years, and everything you see him to be and he presents himself as is who he actually is. Really sincere, deep conviction, a genuine love for people. And I think for us as Muslims in New York City, with so much of the rhetoric that we've seen over decades, but especially ramping up into this night, for him to come and win this so quickly, and so many people from so many walks of life being here behind him tonight, just as a testament to who it is he is, it's really remarkable.
Can you read that for me, what it says on the screen?
Zoran right now has over 50% of the votes, 972,000 votes in total, and it's just going to keep coming in. He's a remarkable young man, and New York is behind him right now.
Did you think this was possible?
I think early on when he started, people probably didn't know what to expect. But as things started to go, I was there the night of the primary, and just the hope that was in the room and the sheer shock that people had that he won so quickly, I think everybody knew we were going to get to this place right now. And it's just the start of a lot of good things.
Hey!
Of the many supporters and organizers at Zoran Mamdani's victory party Tuesday night at the Brooklyn Paramount. Mamdani thanked the more than 104,000 volunteers who propelled him to victory in the New York mayoral race. Special thanks to Democracy Now!'s Hani Massoud and Anjali Kamat. At the celebration, I had a chance to briefly speak with Democratic Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez of New York. The new mayor of New York City, the first Muslim mayor of New York, your thoughts?
I mean, Zoran Mamdani, of course, a historic candidate, a tremendous moment for the people of New York. We showed that we're not going to be bullied, we're not going to be intimidated, we're going to fight for working families, we're going to stand with immigrants, we're going to stand with the diversity of this city, and we're also going to make sure that, first and foremost, that this is a city that working people will not be displaced out of.
What do you say to President Trump, who says he'll withhold billions of dollars from New York, make it impossible for Zoran Mamdani to govern?
Well, you know, I think that President Trump was born in New York City, and he knows that if you mess with New York, you mess with the whole country. And so, you know, I think this isn't a city that doesn't fight back.
That's New York Democratic Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez at Zoran Mamdani's victory party. I also spoke with the Canadian journalist, author, and activist, and professor Naomi Klein.
Start off by saying your name and your feelings right now.
My name is Naomi Klein, and I'm levitating. This is such an incredible proof of concept of how to fight fascism. You know, Zoran, immediately after Trump's election, went out and talked to Trump voters, people who'd never voted for Trump before, black and brown people in working class neighborhoods, didn't vilify them, just listened to them. I talked to Zoran for the first time a week after Trump's election, and what he said to me was, everything is broken for people. Like, the elevator in their public housing hasn't been fixed for 10 months. Nothing is working. So it's so easy for someone like Trump to come along and be like, blame the immigrant, blame the unhoused person. And his entire campaign was about proving that if you actually meet people's real needs and raise the floor and say, okay, let's freeze the rent. Let's have free and fast buses. Let's have universal child care. Let's address that sense of scarcity and insecurity at its root, that it can pull people back from the fascist abyss. And he won tonight. He proved that that works, that message works. This movement, this is anti-fascism. And it is also the antithesis of fascism. Because fascists want everybody to be the same. They celebrate conformity, uniformity, sameness, hierarchy. Look at New York as the most unruly city. The entire campaign was a love letter to the diversity, linguistic, faith, cultural diversity of the city at a time when the Republicans never stop pouring hate onto cities and make people afraid of each other, right?
Naomi Klein speaking last night at Zoran Mamdani's victory party in Brooklyn. I also spoke to a New York official who also ran for mayor in the Democratic primary.
Can you identify yourself and your position and what you did with Zoran Mamdani?
Yeah, I'm New York City Controller Brad Lander. I was a candidate for mayor. I cross-endorsed with Zoran in the primary as it was clear that he was the candidate with the best chance to win. We took Andrew Cuomo on together in the second mayoral debate in the primary.
The ranked choice voting was so significant.
Ranked choice voting made a huge difference for us to build a slate of a team of people committed to a more affordable and a more humane city, and who said he can't be, Andrew Cuomo can't be anywhere near City Hall. And then I've worked really hard in the general election, obviously, you know, to have a Muslim New Yorker and a Jewish New Yorker say, we are not going to allow Andrew Cuomo or Eric Adams or Donald Trump or Elon Musk or Stephen Miller to weaponize fear and pit us against each other. The only way that we'll be safe as if we're all safe.
And your response to President Trump saying any Jew who votes for Zoran is stupid.
Well, what I did today was to quote Ethics of the Fathers, or Pirkei Avot, which says, you know, who is wise? He who learns from everyone. And who's a fool? He who can't learn a damn thing. So Donald Trump doesn't get to tell us how to be Jewish. He sure can't tell smart from stupid. And I'll tell you this, like, if he comes for New York City, it's not going to be Donald Trump versus Zoran Mamdani. It's going to be Donald Trump versus New York City. And I think when they write the history books, maybe they'll say when Trump started to lose was when he came for New York after we elected Zoran. And just like we said, good riddance to Andrew Cuomo, would do the same to Donald Trump.
So you're the city controller. You know what it means for President Trump to say he would pull billions from the city.
Yeah, look, I mean, Elon Musk stole $80 million from New York in February, and Eric Adams couldn't say a damn word about it. So having a mayor who's going to stand up and fight on our behalf, bring us together, organize us to help stand up, that's how we win. That's our money. It's not Donald Trump's money, however much he might think it is.
So this is certainly a message to all of the United States, not only the Republican Party, but the Democratic Party as well, which is clearly fighting back. I mean, leader of the Democrats in the Senate, Senator Schumer, never even endorsed the Democratic candidate for mayor, Zoran Mamdani. What do you say to him? What do you say to the party?
Clear, in the last 24 hours, Donald Trump endorsed Andrew Cuomo. Stephen Miller endorsed Andrew Cuomo. Elon Musk endorsed Andrew Cuomo. So Democrats who couldn't stand up and say, we're with Zoran in a fight against that MAGA, you know, cabal, like, we need a party that is broad. It's got to include moderates. Of course it does. And when they win primaries in the right seats where they're representing their constituents, then of course we'll go support them. But when progressive candidates like Zoran win, then moderates have got to support them as well. That's the only way we could build a popular front that's going to be sufficient to stand up to this authoritarian president.
That's New York City Controller Brad Lander at Zoran Mamdani's mayoral victory party at the Brooklyn Paramount. When we come back, we'll look at how Democrats scored major victories across the country, including in California, Virginia, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania, and what's been described as a repudiation of the Trump agenda. Stay with us.
Char chudag tere varna hamesha char chudag tere varna hamesha manjwa mein balana aib la chulela.
Kaisa Saar and Sunny Singh here on Democracy Now!, democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman. Tuesday's general election saw Democrats post big wins across the United States. In California, voters passed Proposition 50, approving a new congressional map that could help Democrats pick up five additional congressional seats in a move to counter Texas's redistricting effort to help Republicans gain five House seats. In New Jersey, Democratic Congressmember Mikey Sherrill won the governor's race, defeating Jack Cittarelli. In Virginia, Democrats reclaimed full control of the state's executive branch as Abigail Spanberger flipped the governorship, becoming Virginia's first female governor. Virginia voters also chose Ghazala Hashmi to be Virginia's lieutenant governor, making her the first Muslim woman elected to statewide office anywhere in the United States. Meanwhile, Democrat Jay Jones defeated Virginia's incumbent Republican attorney general. In Minneapolis, Democratic Mayor Jacob Frey led Democratic Socialist challenger Omar Fateh, but neither got more than 50% of the vote, so the race moves to a second round of ranked choice voting. And in Pennsylvania, Democrats retained control of the state Supreme Court after three justices won their races. For more, we go to Washington, D.C., where we're joined by Daniel Nishanian, editor-in-chief of Bolt, who covered the general election closely. We welcome you back to Democracy Now! Daniel Nishanian, start off by just talking about the national picture.
Thank you for having me. It was really, there's no other way to put it, an epic night for Democrats. Last night, I've been following election nights for a long time, and I've never really quite seen this level of systematic win for pretty much anything that there was to win between the parties for a Democratic candidate. You already named a lot of the big picture races, but it was pretty much anywhere that there was an election yesterday. There was just a small earthquake or a big earthquake in favor of Democrats. So let me give you just one big picture example, that there were 13 statewide races yesterday for statewide office. There was the ones you mentioned. There was one in Jersey, three in Virginia, two in Georgia, as well as seven in Pennsylvania, all judges. And Democrats won all 13 of these races. And they won them by comfortable margins, ranging from 6 points to 24 points. That's right. In Georgia, Democrats won two seats by 24 points. And what's super interesting is that Democrats had never won a statewide race for a race that isn't federal, for a state government, in 20 years, almost 20 years, and they won them by 24 points last night. And if you move down ballot to county-level races, to city races, you are seeing the same thing over and over again of Democrats winning counties or offices that they hadn't won for a long time. Democrats broke the supermajority, Republican supermajority in the Mississippi upper chamber. Democrats won the most seats they have in the Virginia House since the 80s. Democrats flipped Erie County, Pennsylvania. Democrats flipped Onondaga County in New York for the first time since the 70s. And I could go on and on, and I'm not going to do that. But also, last place to look at is, even if you go all the way down to school board races, you know, that was really the center of the conservative ideological takeover in 2021, 2022. A lot of conservative takeovers at the school board level. Even there, we're seeing a lot of conservatives lose their seats in Colorado, in Pennsylvania, in Texas. So that, I think, really gives you an idea of the sort of night that we are speaking about.
So in California, Prop 50, very quickly, your response.
Right. So Prop 50 was a very important part of this war that is happening right now for the U.S. House next year in California. Democrats responded to efforts by Republicans elsewhere to draw maps in their favor, and that itself is going to shift five seats in favor of Democrats. I think a big takeaway yesterday of the type of swings that I was just describing as well. Again, we're talking about a 24-point win in Virginia, large wins in Virginia, Jersey, is that Republicans could get a little spooked, a little scared about the type of maps that they're drawing that are not necessarily equipped to withstand the type of wave that we saw last night. So that's also something to watch, whether Republicans continue now to try and draw the maps in their favor as they've been planning to in places like Florida or Indiana.
The significance of the three liberal judges in Pennsylvania keeping their seats.
Right. I mean, there's so much to talk about. There were three races for the state court, for the state's highest court in Pennsylvania, the biggest swing state in the nation. And Republicans were really hopeful to take back the court in advance of the 2028 presidential election, because this is a state where President Trump kept suing to try and overturn the 2020 result and kept losing at the state's highest court. And yesterday was the Republican opportunity to erase the majority that Democrats enjoy there. Democrats won those races very easily. They are now very likely to hold that court until 2029.
And in Minneapolis, now the neither candidate, the mayor Fry or Omar Fateh, got 50%. So explain what happens right now between Jacob Fry and Omar Fateh. It's right choice voting.
That is one of the main mayoral races we were watching as a companion of what's happening in New York that you've covered during the show, where there was a more centrist incumbent mayor running against a progressive challenger. In the first round of voting, there's about a 9 percentage point gap, something like that, between Fry, who's ahead, and Fateh, who's second. But now we move to a ranked choice voting. There are third, fourth candidate that got a large share of the vote. And a lot of them are aligned more with the left, with Omar Fateh's campaign. So we could see a very tight election when the ranked choice is run at some point, I think, in this afternoon.
And it's significant. He is called Omar Fateh, the Mamdani of the Midwest, but of Mamdani himself. And President Trump saying overall, he wrote, Trump wasn't on the ballot, and shutdown were the two reasons that Republicans lost elections tonight. He refers to himself in the third person. The shutdown and that he himself wasn't on the ballot.
I mean, I just heard the excerpts from his speech earlier in the program, and when he said, you know, I am an immigrant, that's such an important part of his win, of his victory, and that was very striking. First, because of the Islamophobic campaign that really was ran against him in the final weeks of the campaign. Also, because, as you mentioned a few minutes ago, there was the first Muslim woman to win a statewide office anywhere in the country. That really stands as a companion result, given that context. But also because we saw the topic of immigration and ICE, and obviously Trump's agenda around those issues, be very important around the country. Just as one example, the Republican nominee for governor. Okay. Well, there were a lot of races where immigration was on the ballot and a big issue, and that's what I was going to end with.
Daniel Nishanian, you got a lot in there. Editor-in-chief of Bolts. We'll link to your coverage of the elections at democracynow.org. I'll be in St. Louis Friday night. Check our website, democracynow.org.
Rise, the greater our reach. Support Campus Community Radio in Burnaby by making a donation today at cjsffunddrive.ca or by texting donate to 778-782-2573 right now. Help us rise higher and reach further.